Welcome to Real Estate and You. I've got Rob Leatherwood with me from the Texas Association of Realtors. I'm going to give you an update what's going on in Washington and the political world and how to fix real estate in San Angelo, Texas. Hey, Rob.
Morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I just got back from Washington. Spent a week up there.
Yeah.
Spent a little time with Conaway. Got some education. You've got a whole lot of information, a lot of things that passed and a lot of things that are going on and that affect real estate. Let's kind of highlight some of those and kind of give the people an update what we learned.
Well, I think one of the big issues that we talked about in Washington, D.C. is the flood insurance.
Huge.
Now, you wouldn't think...
Hey, especially right now. Think about it.
Right? You wouldn't think that flood insurance would be a huge thing in Texas, specifically in West Texas, but it's actually like a remarkably large issue, especially when you talk to people like in Abilene, for example, where 40% of their map is in a floodplain.
I mean, it's 40% of the houses, I've heard 50, but 40 to 50% of the houses in Abilene, Texas have to have flood insurance.
Well, and not just that, but without the government subsidies, people have, because it has lapsed a couple times in the last two or 3 years, and people saw their flood insurance rates going up like 1,000%. They went from paying maybe $300 a year to like $3,000 a year. And certainly that's might not gonna break the bank, but that's groceries you can't put on the table for your kids. That makes it harder to pay your mortgage. It makes everything more difficult.
Rob, let me tell you, we're out here in San Angelo, Texas. We had some houses in the Bluffs, some houses spread around, some out in north side of town. And it didn't go from even 300 to 3,000. It went from 300 to 10,000.
Oh my.
Well, here's what you just did. You made that house not sellable.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, well, yeah, you can still do it. Well, would you want to pay an extra $10,000 a year on something for basically nothing?
Well, no. And part of the problem is that like a lot of the floodplain maps are designed by FEMA, and which is fine. They draw good maps, but they don't update them often enough. Because when was the last time Abilene, Texas like saw a flood? Like if you see a flood in Abilene, Texas, you better look for the ark.
Well, yeah. But hey, as much rain as we've got here lately, thank you, God. We haven't seen anything really flooding per se. Except for Jeremy's house. Other than Jeremy's house, everything else is good. But what Rob's talking about on this flood insurance, it used to be subsidized a lot by the government. What happened, the government said, we're not going to subsidize it anymore. And you heard people in West Texas. I'll tell you right now, I'm sitting around the coffee shop. They said, well, you know, we don't care. All those people, you know, if they want to live on the coast and see the beautiful ocean, they can pay that high insurance. They didn't understand. That affects everybody.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of houses in San Angelo that are in a floodplain. And Rob said the FEMA maps, they throw a big old net over an area.
Mm-hmm.
So they may get some houses in that really aren't in the floodplain. But here's what we do. You know, every time we list something that's a questionable, we get an elevation certificate.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you if it is or it isn't. And if it is, how bad is it? Because depending on how bad it's in the floodplain is how much your flood insurance is going to be.
Sure.
If you're not in a floodplain, your flood insurance is hardly nothing. But what Rob's saying right now, and if you'll kind of update us, what's going on that the government's trying to kick back in and help out with this, which is affordable?
Well, there's kind of like two camps in Washington. One of them kind of wants the government to totally be out of that process and to be a totally private system. And then there's another camp that wants the government involvement to remain. And as far as the National Association of Realtors goes, we do appreciate that government involvement because we believe if the private market could actuarially and soundly price flood insurance, they'd have done it already.
And they can't, have not been able to.
They can't. And so it's important that the government maintains those subsidies so that people that live in those floodplains can afford to live in those floodplains. Because as I said, like with Abilene, when it's like 40%, 50% of the map, I mean, what does that do for like the real estate market in Abilene? It makes 40 to 50% of that market unsellable.
And that's huge. And the reason I like using Abilene is that we all can relate to one of our sister cities. You know, we think, well, Galveston or the coast or all this. But, you know, even the people down there, who's going to unload those ships? Who's going to all the products that are getting brought to us that every one of us use? We've got to figure this out across the board.
Well, I mean, a solid one-third at least of our economy is down in the Houston-Galveston area with all the oil refineries and the shipping that they have down there.
If you drive a motorcycle or a car or anything else, you need that.
I think there's a little bit of a misconception sometimes that we're, you know, subsidizing insurance for like a $1.5 million property. That's not really what's happening. It's like you said, it's the oil refinery guys, it's the ship workers, the dock workers, you know, people just like you and me. Those are the houses. You know, maybe it's a $100,000-$120,000 home. It's not like real expensive, but that's who we're really taking care of.
Cool. And you sell, and I think they're pretty much still on track to keep that going, correct?
Yes, they are. Another thing that I think was really important that we talked about in Washington, D.C. is they're called G fees. Now, G fees is short for guarantee fees, and that's a fee that borrowers pay as part of their, like, if they get like an FHA loan. What that goes to service is to ensure that if there's another housing bubble, that FHA, like Freddie, Fannie, they don't just like automatically implode, because we have these guarantee fees that guard against people that can't make their payments. The problem that we were experiencing, I guess maybe 6 or 8 months ago, was the federal government had the highway transportation bill come up for reauthorization. And they do those about...
Is this Prop 7?
No, that's a state one.
Okay.
Yeah, this is federal. These transportation bills come up for reauthorization about 3 to 5 years, depending on how long they authorize it for. But they couldn't find money to fund the bill. So they started going after these G fees. Well, I get that you are kind of being creative in the way that you're funding something that does need
to be. So tell me what a G fee is.
So a G fee is a fee that you pay, the borrower pays, as part of their loan when they get like an FHA loan, and it guards against if they, for some reason at some point down the line, can't make the payment, or there's a housing bubble and lots of people can't make the payment at the same time, it makes it where the system can stay solvent. They're trying to pull these fees out and use them for transportation, which we all agree is transportation is like super, super, super important. But it's important, it's more important that these G fees get marked for the purposes and spent for the purposes
they were charged for.
That they were collected for.
Yeah.
And Mike Conway's been an absolute rock star, very vocal on making sure that that happens the way it needs to happen.
And Conway's been a huge friend to the real estate community, and that just FYI. We did have supper with him and listened, and I mean, he's definitely from West Texas. He definitely believes in West Texas stuff. He's there to support West Texas values.
Well, and he gets the issues that we deal with out here, you know. And he's one thing I would love to compliment Chairman Conway on is he actually does come back to the district very regularly. He doesn't insulate himself in the Washington bubble the way some other members do. He comes back to West Texas.
We actually got criticized for coming back too much.
I have no problem with it.
I don't either.
I think it's terrific the amount of time he spends in the district.
And I agree 100%.
Another one that we wanted to talk about with the new Congress that's going to come in January with a new president. You know, we'll see, you know, who wins the White House and who wins the House and the Senate, but it's going to look very different probably than it does today. There's a high probability that they start looking at doing some major tax reform initiatives. One of the things that keeps getting thrown around is the removal of a 1031-like kind exchange.
Which would be very, very bad for Texas.